if 2020 has taught us anything, I hope that it has taught us the importance of prayer and how we need to be spending time taking things to the Lord and both our requests and our petitions and our you know, all the things that we need to be bringing to the Lord in our praise. But we need to be coming to the Lord on a regular basis, and we need to do that in unity as the church. And there's a couple of things that I want to make you aware of this week specifically, where we can kind of join together as a church in prayer. The first one is Child Evangelism Fellowship's International Day of Prayer is happening this Wednesday, November 4th. And they're asking that we join together in praying with them for more workers into the Lord's harvest. This has been a unique and challenging year for Child Evangelism Fellowship, as a lot of what they do is that Backyard Good News Club. I think that's what it's called, right? Backyard, yes, all right. They can't do that because of COVID, so they're looking for unique ways to reach kids and neighborhoods and that. So be praying for that again, November 4th, which is this Wednesday. Also, today, Voice of the Martyrs International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. The Voice of the Martyrs is asking that the church, capital C, joins together in praying for the persecuted church. I hope you appreciate the freedoms that we have in this country to come to gather together and to sing praises to our Lord, to name the name of Jesus, to read His Word, and do so without a threat of any kind of persecution when we leave this building. But that's not the way it is across the world. In fact, there are many Christians who are in places where it's dangerous to come and to do what we're doing today. People who potentially could lose their jobs or their livelihoods or have problems with their families. And some people in some places could even potentially lose their lives, and that happens all the time. So we as Christians here in the United States need to be remembering them, our brothers and sisters, in prayer. So that's what the Voice of the Martyrs are asking the churches to do across the world today. So before we begin in our text today, we're gonna pray for both of these things. So join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the men and women who give so much to the Child Evangelism Fellowship. I know that your word is being proclaimed and the gospel is being presented to many kids. And I just pray, join my brothers and sisters with prayer, asking that you continue to send workers into that harvest. And God, for the persecuted church across the globe, we just lift them up to you today. There may be people who today in this world will lose their lives because they proclaim your good news. And God, we want to bear that burden with our brothers and sisters and ask you for an incredible amount of peace and comfort to go to those who are facing persecution because of their faith. God, I just pray for that day, Lord, where we can all across this world come together and praise your name without threat of persecution. But today, while it's still there, we pray that your Spirit will grant those persecuted incredible peace, comfort, and courage. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's sermon, just so you know, here's a little bit of on the front end, you need to know a little bit PG-13 today. So if you have young kids in the room, you might just want to take them down to Berean Kids. Or you might have some conversations after church today. Just a fair warning. We are in a series in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, and it's the second half of chapter 6. And the topic, what we're going to be talking today about, is sexual immorality. So just kind of keep that in mind. So if you're online and your kid's sitting next to you, you know, that's great. It's totally up to you. But you might want to have them go do something else for a minute. All right. Now that I made you as uncomfortable as I am, we'll get started. By the way, Pastor Spencer and Megan, welcome back. It's good to see you guys. That may be the most awkward segue in the history of segues. So that was unintentional. I just looked up and there you were. So sorry. Well, now we're going to talk. We're going to be talking about God's design for sex. And before we go into our text today, we want to kind of start off on the same page. What does the Bible say about sex and sexuality? And to do that, we need to look all the way back in Genesis. In chapter 2, verses 24-25, it says this: "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Sex, by the way, is God's idea. It's a good thing, but it's only to happen in the context of a heterosexual marriage between one man and one woman. I'm going to say this a few times throughout the sermon this morning, just to make sure that you all are aware of kind of the position that I hold here and what the position of the church is here as well. And it's important because I believe that this is coming directly from scriptures. Hebrews 13:4, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. And in the Gospel of Mark, he kind of points back to this Genesis text that we read. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. We live in a world where people want to justify behavior all the time. And people, if you go and Google it, you can find somebody who claims to be a theologian who argues for things like same-sex marriage or sex outside of a heterosexual marriage. Mark even brings this up. At least a conservative number, he would be at least 4,000 years since creation. He brings up that God made them male and female. In other words, for that whole creation up until Mark, this has been the context. This has been the plan for God's design. I would argue that that has continued on into today. Nothing has changed God's plan and design for human sexuality. In Leviticus 18:22, it says this, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." You see, unfortunately, you know, God designed something good, but the sin entered the world. And as a result of sin entering the world, something as beautiful and sacred as sex has been and will continue to be distorted in every imaginable way until Christ returns. Leviticus 20:13, if a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. Moving into the New Testament, Romans 1:26-27. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves a due penalty for their error. The context, the historical context is important, and context has changed in some ways from the creation, but there are other ways that really there's no difference. In the matter of sexuality, this is one of those ways. God had designed man and woman to be in a relationship, a heterosexual marriage for life, and that is the context where sex is okay. Anything outside of that is sin, and it's wrong. Anything, not just same-sex marriage, anything, or not just same-sex attraction or whatever, anything, right? Sex outside of a heterosexual marriage is wrong. And that would include pornography, which is a giant problem in our society, in our culture, and probably in our church. And we're going to look at that in some statistics here shortly. But before we do, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 6:12 through 20. And as you turn there, join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for your design. What you created is good. And God, this is a sensitive topic to say the least. Lots of people struggle in this area. God, we pray for your grace and we thank you for your grace. But we also pray for your conviction that your Spirit won't allow us to stay in a sinful state, that you will help us to move away from sexual immorality. God, may your Holy Spirit guide and direct us to all truth. And as a result of this study today, that we will take a step closer to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. We're going to make just a couple of points from this text today, and we're going to look at some statistics and things of that nature as well. And again, this is a sensitive topic, but I want to tell you right out from the get-go, as we're talking about this, and we know how widespread an issue of sexual immorality, including pornography, is, there is a way out, and there is hope, and there is grace. So I want to put that out there right away. There is a way out, there is hope, and there is grace. Wherever you fall in this area, in this arena, as we're talking, I want you to know that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit, you no longer have to be a slave to this sin. There is freedom. If you're not a follower of Jesus and you put your faith in Him and then you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, again, you no longer have to be a slave to this or any other kind of addiction or sin. Our first point this morning, found from verse 12, is this. We have freedom from sin. This is Christians. We have freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. We have freedom from sin. We do not have freedom to sin. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Friends, unfortunately, there are many people in the church who are dominated with sexual immorality. Many people. And we, as followers of Jesus, we do have freedom, and we find our freedom in Christ. And that freedom is freedom to not sin, to live in the newness of life by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul talks about that freedom in Galatians 5:13, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We have freedom, but what do we do with that freedom? We don't willfully step into sin and think it's going to be okay. Again, we are no longer slaves to sin. And to kind of point that out, I want to move backwards in our text a little bit to one of the verses from last week, 6:11. And I want to look at that really quick. As Paul just talks and gives the list of these sinful things that he's calling out, including sexual immorality, he says this, "And such were some of you." He writes this to the church in Corinth. "And such were some of you." Underline, circle, bold, highlight, whatever, that word, "were." Were. "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." Friends, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are a different person. And all of those things that had strongholds on you before no longer have power over your lives. You have freedom not to sin. You don't have freedom to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. Now, as we talk about things like sexual immorality, and we talk about things like pornography and sex outside of a heterosexual marriage, there's a lot of people who are going to hear this, either in this room or online, who say, you know what, I have a huge struggle here. What do I do? How do I get out of this? It's an addiction, and it really is a strong. In fact, a lot of things that happen through this is a lot like drug use in the way it rewires your brain, and it does become an addiction. So what do I do if I'm stuck in this? Well, first of all, you need to understand you're not alone. People don't talk about it a whole heck of a lot, but you're not alone. I'm going to give you some statistics here. This is Roxanne Stone. It's the editor-in-chief for Barna. She says, for now, porn is everywhere and is likely to stay that way, particularly considering its widespread acceptance and demand. It wasn't that long ago where people generally agreed that pornography was wrong. That's not the case any longer. As a matter of fact, only one out of every two, or 50% of adults, believe that viewing porn is wrong. Only 50%. And this is a little bit more startling. One out of three teens or young adults believe that it's wrong. In other words, two-thirds of teens and young adults believe that pornography is okay to watch. Every 39 minutes, a new video is posted of pornography. Every 39 minutes. There are 28,258 users that are watching pornography right this second. $3,000, a little bit over $3,000 is spent on pornography every second on the internet, which makes it a billion with a B dollar industry. A billion dollar industry. And this is not just a problem for men any longer. This is also a problem for women. A recent study from Mary Claire found that as many as 1 in 3, or 31% of women, watch pornography every week. It's no longer just a problem for men. Some more stats from a website, Covenant Eyes. This is not just the outside world. This is also affecting the church, not just the church, but church leadership. 1 in 5 youth pastors and 1 in 7 senior pastors use pornography on a regular basis and currently struggling, which means that's more than 50,000 U.S. church leaders. This is just U.S. Over 50,000 U.S. church leaders struggling with this addiction. There's 43% of senior pastors and youth pastors who say they have struggled with pornography in the past. 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women say they watch pornography at least once a month. 64% of professing Christian men and 15% of professing Christian women say they watch pornography at least once a month. Friends, we have a problem. We have a problem, and we have to deal with it. Only 7% of pastors, though, say that their church has a ministry program for those who are struggling with an addiction to pornography. Well, at Berean Baptist Church, just kind of on a side note, we do have a program, at least for men. I think we need to work on a program for women as we're learning more and more about the nature of this and how many people are using, both men and women, pornography. But we do have a program for men, and that we actually, it's called the Conqueror Series for Men. We have a slide that's up behind me. It actually starts next Saturday at November 7th from 8 to 10 a.m. right here at the church. It's 10 weeks long, and if you're interested in more information, you can go to or just email timshill17@gmail.com, or if you have your bulletin, there's information on that as well. Guys, I want to encourage you. You might say, listen, I don't have an addiction to pornography. That's okay for you to still go to this because probably you have a brother in Christ or several brothers in Christ who are close to you that do have an addiction to pornography. And by going to this series, you're going to learn to be able to help them in their walk. And that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to help one another in our journey, in our walk, to become more like Christ. This is a team sport, friends, not an individual one. We need one another. So guys, I want to encourage you to go check out the Conqueror Series. Again, you don't need to have an addiction to pornography to go to this series. It's going to be helpful in the way you can minister to your brothers as well. More stats, and these are the teen and pornography stats. And again, this is what kind of really scares me. And knowing how pornography and sexual immorality rewires the brain, as big of a problem it is now, is likely going to be a bigger problem for the next generation with the access to cell phones and things of that nature. This is a 2008 study and that I'm about to bring up, but it has to do with sexting and sending pictures, inappropriate pictures to one another with teenagers specifically. So I have to believe this was 2018. We're in 2020. It's probably much worse than this now. But in 2018, nearly 27% of teens receive sex. It's really hard to say that word, S-E-X-T-S. Around 15% teens are sending them. And listen to this stat. 57% of teens search out pornography at least monthly. More than half of the teenagers, are at least monthly searching out pornography, and it's rewiring their brains. They're becoming addicted to it, and they're stepping into all kinds of sexual immorality as a result. Church, we need to do better in fighting this. 51% of male students and 32% of female students first viewed pornography before they were teenagers. The first exposure to pornography among men is 12 years old on average. 71% of teens hide online behavior from their parents. And there's all kinds of other stats and problems. How about this? 68% of divorce cases involve one party meeting a new lover over the internet. This is ruining marriages. This is ruining families. 56% of involved one party having 56% involved, talking about divorce cases, one party having an obsessive interest in pornographic websites. This is a big problem, and it's affecting families. It's affecting people in a bad, bad way. And listen, we can solve this by going back to God's design for sex and sexuality. And there is a way out. There is a way out. So the first point here again, we have freedom from sin as Christians, but we do not have freedom to sin. If you're involved in sexual immorality, including pornography, it's not a victimless crime. You need to get out of it. But because of Christ, you have the ability to do that by the power of Christ and indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Second point is this: what we do with our bodies matters. Our physical body matters. We have a group of people, and they're still out there today, that would believe that would argue that you can only sin spiritually but not physically. That's just simply not true. Verse 13 and 14: food is meant for the stomach and for the stomach. And the stomach for food. Before we move on, by the way, this is like a slogan or kind of like a phrase that the church in Corinth would use, or not the church in Corinth, the people of Corinth would use to justify sexual deviancy. That food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Our physical bodies mattered. We are joined with the God by his indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Friends, there will be a physical, not just spiritual, but there will be a physical resurrection. And this, the act of sex itself is a physical joining of two people, a man and a woman, meant to last a lifetime. The two become one flesh. What we do with our bodies, our physical bodies, matters. Third point is this: we are united with Christ. Now, we talk about this a lot. We talk about the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. We talk about being united as a church to Christ. We talk about those things, being united with Christ. But what does that mean when we're stepping into sin? Verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Never. Listen to this. Sexual immorality for Christians takes place in the Holy of Holies. Think back to the Old Testament. You have the temple and the Ark of the Covenant where the presence of God dwelt. Well, in the New Covenant, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have the presence of God indwelling us. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Think about the fact that when it comes to sexual immorality, we are taking God along with us. The next time you're sitting at your computer screen and you're going to get ready to click that link, I want you to imagine that Jesus was physically sitting next to you looking at that screen. It is no different. It is no different. The next time, married woman or married man, that you're getting ready to text somebody who is not your spouse in an inappropriate way, I want you to imagine that Jesus himself was on that text thread. It is no different. You are taking, as a follower of Jesus Christ and a carrier of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, you are taking God into those situations where you're practicing sexual immorality, and it cannot be so. It simply cannot be so. We are taking God along with us. Listen to 16 and 17, verses 16 and 17. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. The text continues to tell us, continues on in verses 18 and 19. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee from it. What does that mean? Turn and run when you're tempted. Turn and run. Don't give the enemy any chance here. Don't give your own desires any chance here. Flee from it. That means if you have a computer and you can't keep yourself from looking at inappropriate images or going onto pornography sites, take that computer, put it in your driveway, and run it over and never look back. Throw it out your closed window even. Flee from it. Flee from it. Listen, go get a stinking flip phone if you need to. You'll save a couple bucks and you might save your marriage. Flee from it. When I think about this fleeing from sexual immorality, I think about Joseph and running from his master's wife. You know, Joseph sold into slavery into Egypt, kind of works his way up and through the ranks. It was an incredible servant. And then has this moment where his master's wife is trying to seduce him. And what does he do? He runs. He's like, not today. He's out of there. That's the image. That's what we need to do. When that temptation comes, whether it be a same-sex attraction, whether it be anything outside of sexual relationships, of a heterosexual marriage that's for a lifetime, anything outside of that, pornography, run with malice. Do whatever you can to get away from it. It's destructive and it's addictive and it is hurting you. And you're taking the Lord along with you. You see, this sexual sin has a destructive element to it. It kind of, like I said, it rewires people's brains. And it's hard for people to get over that. It distorts people's view of what is something that has been created as good and as sacred. And finally, our last point is this. We have been bought with a price. This body is not our own any longer. It belongs to God. Verses 19b and 20. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Glorify God in our body. We have been bought with a price. We do have freedom, but we have freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. We no longer belong to ourselves, but we are property of God. And he has given us very clear instructions with how we should understand sexual relations and sexual immorality. This text means exactly what it says. We belong to God. Do you know when we call Jesus our Lord, what we're essentially saying is, we are your slave and you are our master. That's what we're saying when we say Jesus is our Lord. That we are your slave, you are our master. Why? Because he bought us. But that's where freedom is. Our body is no longer our body, but it is the Lord's. The price that was paid for you and I was a great price to be paid. And with all the negative connotations that come along with something like slavery, and slavery is wrong in the context of human and human, what a freeing and incredible relationship that is with our God, to be his servant. Because that is where freedom is found. You see, if we're either going to be free, we're either going to be slaves to the Lord or slaves to our own evil desires and to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin as followers of Jesus Christ. We belong to God and we have great freedom in that. What does this all mean? That means whatever addiction that you're dealing with, whatever sexual immorality or attraction that you have to battle right now, there is a way out and there is freedom, and it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit of God who is in you as a follower of Jesus Christ. Not yet a follower of Jesus Christ? Listen, accept him to be your Lord and Savior. That's where freedom is. That's where freedom is. Those addictions that have you and have had you for so long, no longer to have power over you. As a matter of fact, today you can break the bonds of that addiction. Today, not tomorrow. Now, you might need help with that and staying away from it because of what it does to your brain. But that's why we have things like the Conqueror series to help you along with that. The price that was paid, though, for our body, for you and I, was a great price. The cross of Jesus Christ was our cross. And that is where sin and death went to die, including the sin of sexual immorality. Is the cross of Jesus Christ. See, this is why the cross is so central to the gospel, both for the unbeliever who is just hearing and for the believer who's been following Jesus for a long time, because it helps us to remember that that sin that we are battling with, that addiction that we struggle with, that also died on the cross. That also died on the cross. It no longer has to have you in bondage. Friends, we are created to have intimate relationship with God. You know, go back to the garden, right? Before sin entered the world, there was a connection, an intimate relationship between man and God that was broken because of sin. But we have been designed to be in communion with Him by the power of the cross and through the presence of His Holy Spirit. We can have that kind of relationship with God. So as we flee from sexual immorality, run towards the cross where there is freedom. As you flee from whatever sinfulness that you are struggling with, run towards the cross where there is freedom and there is hope and there is grace. I already mentioned it, but I want to mention it again. Verse 11 in chapter 6. And such were some of you. What does that mean? That means that old person before the work of Christ in your life, that old person, such were some of you. But there's hope for a new future because you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. It is by His work, not ours, that we can have freedom. And we can have that holy communion with the Lord once again. We're gonna move towards just that, actually. We're gonna having communion together for the first time in several months. As you can see, we have the elements on in front of the stage here, and I'm going to give you some instructions for that in just a minute. I want to encourage you, if we do communion here at Berean as a family. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to partake along with us. If you're at home, run to your fridge, grab whatever you can for your elements, and take communion with us as a church as well, wherever you're at. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, I would just encourage you to kind of sit this one out, or even better, accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and then join us in communion as well. I'm going to go ahead and give us our instructions, and then I'm going to read, I'm going to give us instructions, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. First of all, so the instructions are pretty simple. Because of COVID, we're doing everything considerably different. We're asking, I think I got this wrong in my head right now. I think we're asking everybody to go down the outside aisles and then back up the center aisle. I'm stewardess on an airplane here. So you're going to go out down the outside aisles, back up the center aisle. So you come up to the table, grab one of these little cups that have the elements on them as well. When you get them, there's like a little clear cover where you kind of pull that off and get your wafer, and then the next thing you pull off to get to the juice. But we're going to take it together. So when we dismiss you by row, so that we can kind of practice social distancing, you'll come up, grab down the outside aisles, grab the elements, go back up the center aisle to your seat. So do we have the folks who are going to dismiss the people by row? So, okay, cool. You're coming forward. They're going to let you know. We're going to pray, and during this prayer, we're going to have some time for reflection. And some time for repentance if necessary. But join me if you would. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the promise that the old man can be dead and gone because we've been risen to walk in the newness of life. God, as we take these elements, as we look at them and think about your broken body and your shed blood, which has happened on our behalf to purchase us as your own children, God, may we just, by your Spirit, just recall whatever it is in our lives that has strongholds, and by your power, repent from them and never return. With our heads down and our eyes closed, and the camera on me so those who are watching online can't see any of this. If you're in this room, and I'm sure there are many, given the statistics, but if you're in this room and you're struggling with an addiction to pornography, or you're struggling with some sort of sexual immorality, and it has a kind of a bondage on you right now, and you just want somebody to pray for you. You want to move that sin from the darkness into the light, and you want to break that bondage. I would just encourage you, again, with everybody's heads down and eyes closed, just slip up your hand so I can pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, the hands that came up, some very quickly, and the hands that didn't go up because just fear of what somebody might think about them or fear that their spouse might feel them moving their hand. We know that this is a problem. This sexual immorality is a problem in our culture. It's a problem in our church. But God, we know that you are the solution. And we pray that you will break that bondage, that you will help every man, woman, and child, Lord, to walk with you the way you have designed us to walk. God, as we pray this, I also think about all the other things that we could be talking about, all the other sins that we are struggling with. And for the next couple of moments of just quiet, I pray your Spirit will just speak to each one of our hearts and just show us those areas in our lives that we need to repent from before we enter into this time of communion. God, even now as you speak to our hearts, we just pray for forgiveness of our sins. We just pray that you will help us to walk in accordance to your word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to ask everybody to, again, not take your elements until we're all sitting back down, but we're going to go ahead and dismiss you by row. Once again, our little cups here for the social distancing and not to spread germs. Little clear thing on top. If you take that off, you can kind of access the wafer underneath. And then after that, the little purple cover we'll have to take off for the juice. 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. God, we just thank you for this reminder of both what you have done and what you are going to do as we eat this bread and drink this cup until the day you return. And we look forward to that day in confidence. We look forward to that day when we no longer have to battle with the sinful desires of our flesh, but we will be completely and totally freed with when we are with you for eternity. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.